Travis Garrison of the Field of 68 Networks. I got my brother, former Terp, Eric Hayes, joining me today. What's going on, bro, man? I definitely appreciate you joining me today, man. How's everything going? It's been a while.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. It has been a while. Everything's going great, man. I'm here in Nashville. I've been here for about 7 years and been enjoying it.
Oh, man, I didn't know you was in okay, you're in Nashville. How long you say you've been there for, like, what, 7 years?
Yeah, I'm going on 7 years here. Yep.
Oh, wow. Wow. How you liking it there?
I like it a lot, man. I like it a lot. A little less traffic than back in D.C., so that's always nice, but I enjoy it here.
Yeah, I only been in Nashville once, man. That's when we was on the first round of our NCAA tournament my freshman year. It was pretty, it was pretty cool, man. But that was the only and last time I've been there.
It's changed a lot since then. Trust me.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's growing big time. So it's changed a lot. Yeah.
That's good, man. Hey, man. Like I said, man, I wanted to catch up with you, man. You know, let the fans know what you've been up to. How's everything going? We're going to talk some Maryland basketball, man. So let's get down to it. Hey, so first of all, let's because you're from Virginia, right?
Yep. Yeah, Northern Virginia. Yep.
Northern Virginia. So what made you choose Maryland? What made you want to become a Terp?
Well, you know, growing up, I was always a Maryland fan. Like, that was my team growing up. You know, being from Virginia, you know, Maryland was – it was the closest big school. I mean, UVA was 2 or 3 hours away from where I lived. Maryland was only an hour. My dad had always liked the Terps, and that's kind of how I started following them at a real young age and just became to love them. You know, I started watching, you know, and around Prophet, and those guys were going, and those teams were great and they were good. So, you know, that drew me even more closely to them. As that was a winning program, it was close to home, and it was something that, you know, I always wanted to play for them. But it was also an extra bonus that, you know, my family could come watch the games at pretty much every game. You know, kind of a fun fact: my mom and dad missed 2 games total, home and away, my 4 years. So they were traveling everywhere. Yeah, so it was pretty impressive. But yeah, it was always my dream school, and it just so happened it was only an hour away.
Oh, man, that's awesome. And, man, like, I know, because I know Steve Blake, for example, I know his parents, I think, lived in Florida, and they never missed a game. And his dad didn't like flying, I believe. So they actually drove to every game, bro.
That's more impressive than my parents. I'll give them that.
That is dedication, man. But, yeah, man, so could you – I think when I was leaving out, you were coming in, right? Because you came in with Grievous in them, right?
Yeah, me, Grievous, Landon, and Jerome Burney were the kind of the four that were coming in as you guys were going out. Yeah.
Right. So so y'all still was in the ACC. So you didn't get a chance to really get a taste of the Big Ten, huh? So, right.
No, luckily I didn't. I'm glad I grew up, you know, obviously in that era, you grew up as an ACC fan and you love the rivalries of Duke and Carolina and UVA and all those schools. So, you know, that's what I wanted to play in. That's what I wanted to compete against. And I don't know how I'd feel if I was going to Iowa or, you know, any other Midwest school. You know, that just seems kind of weird to me. Still, right. You know, we've been in the league for, I don't know, 5 years or so. So right. I'm happy I got to play in the ACC for sure.
Absolutely, man. You got to play for the legendary Hall of Famer G-Dub. What was your experience like playing for G-Dub, man? Like, what was your experience like when you first actually, because recruiting, it's different than when you step on a practice and it's actually you're on a team now and he's your coach. He's officially your coach. What was that experience like, that transition, then obviously, like, you know, playing for him throughout your years?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a very hard recruiting process for him anyways when it came to me. You know, pretty much as soon as they offered, it was pretty much, okay, yeah, I'm coming there. He didn't really have to do a whole lot. I was just waiting for him to offer me. And I think at the end of my beginning of my junior year, I committed, committed to Maryland. So I was pretty much set to go and ready to get there. But yeah, I mean, like, playing for him was great. I mean, obviously you had the experience too, you know, he just, the way that he cared for his players and believed in them and pushed them. And, you know, my dad was basically my coach all the way from, you know, when I first started playing all the way through high school. He coached me in high school as well. And, you know, he, he would get into me every now and then, but nothing quite like, you know, Coach Williams can do. But you know, luckily, I mean, I was the type of player that I think kind of related to him. And obviously I was a point guard slash shooting guard. So I was kind of one of the coaches on the floor. And I felt that, like, I understood what Coach wanted all the time. And he kind of understood me. And we never really clashed heads because we, you know, always kind of tried to do the right thing and do what's best for the team, that type of thing. So we never really had that many head-butting situations between the two of us. But, you know, I think he's made me a better player. You know, he pushes you, and he's the type of coach that you want to play hard for. You know, you want to win for, because you see the passion and you see the preparation that he puts into, you know, every practice and every game. And it's just, I don't know, it's just something that I look forward to playing for, you know, before I even got there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I definitely know what you mean, because obviously I remember you playing, and you was always the easygoing, mild-tempered one. Like, you was always easygoing, but then you had Grievous on the other hand. So I guess it didn't matter, because you was the calm one, and then you had Grievous, who was Grievous. So what was it like playing with Grievous, man? Yeah, no. You know,
that was great, man. I mean, obviously, you know, we were roommates and stuff. We came in together, and you know, obviously he was the more, you know, outgoing and flamboyant player, but, you know, I think our games really meshed well together. You know, we both are very, very smart players, and kind of as time went on, I mean, it was just, we just knew where we're going to be, knew where we're going to be on the court. And, you know, I got him a lot of points just from assists, and, you know, vice versa. He would always be able to find me wherever I was. And, you know, I think our games just really meshed well together. And even though we weren't the most athletic backcourt to ever come through Maryland, I think, you know, the two of us kind of, I don't know, played very well together. And we both had the IQ to compete at a high level.
Right. Absolutely, man. Like I said, I definitely remember you guys playing, man. Had some very exciting games. What was some of your best moments of Maryland? Like a story that you always tell when somebody asks you about your experience at Maryland, or a moment that you say, man, I would never forget that game or that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one that comes to mind is our senior night. It was Duke at home. Obviously, you know how those games go. I mean, we were still in contention to win the regular season ACC, and we needed to win that game and then beat Virginia on the road the next game, and we were to clinch the ACC regular season. So, you know, going into that game, obviously, you know, there's a lot of emotions going into, you know, senior night, and then plus it being Duke, you know, you're on national TV, you know how the fans react to Duke when they come to town. So it was just one of those games where, you know, going into it, like, there's no way we were losing. Like, we just had that feeling of, like, you know, we need this game, like, for not only the, you know, the regular season title, but this is our last home game, you know, for the four of us that came in together. And, you know, we ended up winning the game. And, I mean, it was just one of those games that, you know, you always remember, just the fans and the reaction of the crowd and all that stuff. And being the senior night as well just was the cherry on top.
Right, absolutely, man. I don't think, man, to have Duke as a senior night game, that got to be exciting, man. Like you said, with the adrenaline going, it's your last home game. And to go out with Duke, man, that's mm-hmm. incredible, man. I didn't know that, yeah. Man. And like I said, you know, me watching some old games back, especially those ACC games, man, those ACC days, man, with the, you know, Maryland fans, man, going crazy. And like I said, it's a senior night, you got Duke, and y'all get the win. And that's definitely a great experience right there. Like you said, something that you would never forget.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Yeah, and I was – you played in Cole for – did you play in Cole any seasons or –
No, I did when we were in high school, but you know, it's not the same experience.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you caught the last year of Cole or not. I forgot.
Nah, I missed it by a year. So my freshman year, that was the first year at Comcast, it was called back then, but that was my first year in the arena.
Understood. Yeah, that's one thing I always wish I could have played in Cole. You know, just growing up, that's what I grew up watching and going to games there. So that atmosphere was like none other.
Man, crazy, man. Like, I know I've been to a couple. I went to a Duke game there once before. I think I've been to their Virginia game. But, like, man, like you said, this everybody's on top of you. There's no air conditioning, so it's hot. It's super hot, man. And like you said, just then, you know, you're talking about the history of it. You know, going to play in the Comcast, we was the first ones to play there, so there's really no history there. Whereas, you know, Cold Field, you had, you know, the Lynn Bias, Walt Williams, you know, all the Lynn Elmore, all those guys that came before us that played there, and the history that comes behind it, man. But, you know, I did have a chance to play in high school, so I guess I could just that'll be okay for right now. Yeah. Hey, so you had your experience at Merlin, then once you left Merlin, you played professionally for a few years, right?
Yeah, so I ended up going over to play in Spain and Lithuania, and then I came back and played a little bit in the D League. It was called the D League back then, not the G League.
Right.
For a short stint. And then ended up, you know, I wasn't too happy in the D League. The environment there was really not my cup of tea. Didn't really suit my game. So then I decided to end up going back to Maryland as a grad assistant after I stopped playing.
What was your experience like in Lithuania? I played there for a couple of years, man. I see you was in Neptunus, so that was, you know, I played them for a little bit, man. It was a crazy experience. Pretty cool. The thing was okay, but like, and I played in Spain for a second too. But yeah, man, that overseas experience is different. And then, like you said, you playing in Lithuania, it's a little different playing in Spain. You know, it's two different worlds in regards to the living and the experience, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like in Spain, like nobody spoke English really, like where I was anyways. And like, right. You know, we only got, you got two Americans on the team. And thankfully, I had a guy who, one of our dual citizenship players, was Dominican and American, so he was kind of our translator in Spain. But the coach didn't speak any English. Like, it was pretty crazy. Like, of course, you're a point guard over there, so it's like, it's kind of hard to.
Oh man, nah, absolutely.
It was kind of weird. I mean, when I got to Lithuania, it was completely different. I mean, it was just like freezing cold all the time and snowing and always dark, it seemed.
Right.
But both were good leagues and pretty good competition. Yeah.
No, absolutely, man. Like you said about the Spain experience, that was, and it's funny because I took Spanish a few times in middle school and in high school. I didn't pay attention at all. I go to Spain, everybody's speaking Spanish. Nobody wants to speak English at all. And like I had some Americans on my team. I had a rookie. And I had a guy who was older than me who could speak Spanish fluently, but he was like, look here, man, you know, the only way you're going to learn is if you, you know, figure it out on your own. He helped me with some stuff, but he made me figure it out on my own. And I'll go places and drive to stores and stuff, man. It was a struggle. Like you said, nobody, especially this town I was in a smaller town. Nobody wanted to speak English. So it was a struggle, man. But yeah, man, it was definitely a good experience, though.
Yeah, man, I learned enough to order my food and ask a couple questions, and I couldn't hold any long conversations. So, but
right.
Yeah, it was a good experience for sure. Yeah.
Hey, but before we move on to talk about some more Merlin basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time, because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With the basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today. Or by downloading the BetRivers app, must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's talk some Merlin basketball now. You said you was a grad assistant at one point. So when you was a grad assistant, were you there when Gary was there, or were you there when Coach Turgeon was there?
No, I was there with Turgeon for 2 years. Yep.
How was that? I mean, I tell people all the time, I met Turgeon a number of times, practiced with the team, you know, spoke to him, great guy, always was welcoming me back with open arms and everything. What was your experience like, you know, being in that coaching staff and, you know, coaching with them and then, you know, dealing with the players?
It was a good experience, man. You know, like I said, like your experience with him. I mean, he was always nice to me and always welcoming, you know, I thought I wanted to just try and see how I liked, you know, the college realm of things when it comes to coaching. Obviously, I was in school as well, but you know, he gave me a decent amount of responsibility. You know, working with the players and doing a lot more, you know, skill development and that type of thing. You know, before and after practice, and you know, I would get involved during practices as well. So it was a good learning experience for me, and got to kind of see, you know, the full, you know, behind the scenes of what being a college coach really is about.
So were you surprised at the beginning of the season when he ended up leaving in the middle of the season? Were you surprised? Were you shocked like everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of see the writing on the wall that maybe by the end of the year, you know, there would be kind of like a mutual departure, just the way the things were going and how the fans and others were reacting. But I was a little shocked at the mid-season departure, just, you know, seemed kind of a bad time to leave. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know either side of the story. So who really knows what happened or what went on. But I was surprised, though.
Right. And I tell people, because, I mean, I know it's probably with some other stuff going on behind the scenes, but, you know, you had the transfers come in, so you had to get that chemistry going, with acclimating with that. But then, you know, when the head coach ended up leaving, that kind of just throws a monkey wrench in everything. Even the possibility of them kind of looking, because they, on the paper, they were looking good. Like, they could have had a really good season, you know, if everything would have meshed well and the chemistry was going to mesh well. But when the head coach steps down, and then now you got all this uproar and all this craziness around the program. As you know, we were players, when, you know, how things get, when things going on around the program, it can affect what goes on in the locker room, what goes on in the player's head, especially with all the confusion that's happening, you know, trying to get the season going.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's something to do, like transfer portal and all that stuff. You know, it's good and could be good and bad, because, I mean, you can turn your program around in a year if you get the right people in and they mesh well and you can make it work. But, you know, somebody like Texas Tech, who's done that a lot, they brought in players and they've been able to, you know, acclimate them well, and their chemistry's been good, and, you know, now they're, you know, a top 15 team. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. It's just,
right,
it's on the group of players you have, the coaches, and how the team messes when those kids come in.
Right. So what do you see going forward in regards to, I've been to a couple of games this year, and the attendance is not like we used to seeing. You know, obviously there's a difference between when we had in ACC, we had that attendance, but then the Big Ten. But even now, man, it's just like, man, it's barely anybody going to the games, any fans going, any students going to the game. What do Maryland need to get back on track in regards to the type of coach or the type of style that we need to get the fans back, get that energy back in the building, and then also to get that winning back going on in Maryland? I mean, not to say the winning, because, you know, even with Coach Turgeon, I mean, he had some winning seasons. But in regards to the energy in the arena, and to get the fans and the boosters happy about coming back and basically supporting the program.
Yeah, no, that's going to be an important decision coming up for, you know, our AD and everybody on the next coach. You know, I think we got to get somebody in there that's really going to, you know, have an energy and kind of put a shot in the arm to the program, to where they're, you know, turning it around. I mean, obviously, you know, this is one bad year that we've had. It doesn't mean, like you said, 2 years ago we were regular season Big Ten champs, and so we weren't that far away from, you know, having great success. And, you know, the COVID year hurt the one team that could have looked like they could have gone pretty deep in the tournament.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do coaching wise, but I think that's going to be a big point of, you know, how this program is, you know, pointed, you know, from here on out. You know, I like to see somebody that's got some experience and has got some energy, and that can, you know, in this day and age, you know, the transfer portal is pretty important. And I think if you get the right guy in here, you can get the right players and keep the right players on the roster that are already here. And, you know, you can be back next year in the top 25, I mean, easily, if you get the right guy in here. And if that happens, you know, fans will be there. You know, I know this fan, our, you know, our fan base, you know, we're a passionate group. And, you know, if they don't like what they're seeing out there, they're going to tell you, or they're going to show you by not showing up. So,
right.
You know, I think it's very easily turned around if we get the right guy in there.
Right. And I tell people all the time, this is like one of the biggest hires off-season hires as it probably is in college basketball because of, I mean, like you had, you know, you had Giselle, then you had Coach Williams, you had Coach Turgeon, and people were kind of, you see people starting to get restless and impatient with Coach Turgeon. So now they like, they expecting to win it right off top. They expect to either win it right off the break or at least a coach on the sideline that they'll be interested to see how he does and give him a chance. Like, you know, I heard people throwing out names like a Patino. You know, could you see like a Coach Patino on the sidelines at Maryland? And what do you think about that? I'm just throwing that out there, like, because that's the name that's kind of getting thrown around. Like, could you see him like bringing that success back to the program? Or, you know,
I do think so. I mean, I think if Patino would come to Maryland, I think within 2 or 3 years we're probably back in contention. You know, to run, make deep runs in the tournament. He's the type of guy who's got the credibility. He's got kind of that swagger to get guys to come, you know, to Maryland. And I think he could be a guy who could do that. You know, he said he's not coming. You know, but who knows? You know, who knows what's right. going on? But yeah, I for sure would be 100% behind that if that was the case.
Yeah, and you know him. He's not going to show his cards right now anyway. That's not his. It just happened. You know what I mean? And what I tell people too is very important. What I think is very important is the assistant coaches, you know, because those are guys that's out mm-hmm. there really beating the door down. You know, I tell people all the time, yeah, Coach Williams wanted me, but you had Coach Dickerson mm-hmm. and Coach Passos and Billy Hahn. Those are the ones I'm getting letters from every single day. Those are the ones that come to the games every single day. So the assistant coach is almost just as important as getting the right head coach. And I think I tell people all the time that I think it's important to have some Maryland blood as an assistant coach on the sideline, just because they know the program, they know, and the fans and the boosters and alums, they know them. And then, you know, I heard some names getting thrown around, and if it was to happen, I think it'd be crucial too, because the ties that they have within the DMV area. And we do have some talented young players in the area that's deciding to go elsewhere. But if they would have the guys that could beat down those doors and keep those guys here, like you said, Maryland could be back on the map within a couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's very important, you know, because, you know, like you said, Gary, we wasn't coming to every game or anything like that. I mean, he was, when I was getting recruited, he was established, and you knew you were getting from Coach Williams. And, you know, those assistants are the ones that are calling you or texting you and all that stuff. So, you know, if someone like Patino were to take the job or whatever, somebody like him, you know, he brings instant credibility, you know, to the coaching staff. And, you know, regardless of who his assistants are, like you said, I would like to have at least one guy with some Maryland ties or some DMV ties that can kind of be a bridge. But I mean, like I said, I mean, Patino's got a big name, and I mean, kids are going to come just because of Rick Patino. He's the best that he's had with players and his programs. And I think that's something that would happen at Maryland.
Right. No, absolutely, man. Like I said, I'm definitely going to keep my eyes open and see what Maryland does. I'm pretty sure the basketball community is watching the same. And I mean, recruiting season is like right around the corner. So, I mean, they got to make a decision like sooner than later. Like you said, I definitely don't want to be the AD at this moment because all eyes on him. If he makes the wrong choice, you know how to, like you said, you know how the Maryland fans and alums are. So it's going to be curious to see. But man, Eric, man, it was definitely great catching up with you, bro, man. I definitely appreciate you joining the Go Terps with Travis Garrison. It's been a while since I last saw you. I know it's been like, man, since you part of us at Maryland. Like I said, we see each other on social media, man, but I haven't talked to you in a while, man. So it was definitely, you know, great catching up with you, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. It was great talk.
Well, yeah, man, I'm definitely gonna keep in touch, man. Hope take care of yourself, man, down in Nashville. I probably gotta come down there soon anyway. I got some business to do down there, man. Okay. So if that happens, we definitely gotta catch up, bro.
I'll link up.
Oh yeah. All right, man. So you take care of yourself, bro.
All right, too.